Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. We're going to deviate just a little bit from that today, but what we're really going to be talking about is how to keep going, how to set goals, how to really make sure that when times get tough, we can keep going, and which is what every business owner needs to hear, right? So please join me in welcoming Mark Pattison to our program today. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, thank you so much. It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, we're going to have so much fun. So let me tell people a little bit about you, and then we will go from there. So Mark grew up in Seattle, Washington, where he was a high school All-American attending Roosevelt High, and he was inducted into their Hall of Fame in 2005. He then attended the University of Washington, we'll forgive him for that, and played in two Rose Bowls, two Aloha Bowls, an Orange Bowl, and was inducted into the Husky Hall of Fame in 2016. He is a vested member of the National Football Players Association, having played five seasons in the NFL for the Raiders, Saints, and Rams. As a successful entrepreneur, Mark started a venture-backed gaming company, which was sold and is currently an executive for Sports Illustrated. In 2021, Mark helped take the parent company of SI, Maven, public onto the NASDAQ. Mark recently became one of only two NFL players, and really one of just 500 people in the world, to ever climb all seven summits, which are the highest peaks on each continent. Although he was able to summit Mount Everest, and this was just in May, oh my gosh, he overcame snow blindness, a COVID outbreak, two cyclones, and he ran out of oxygen, but he still found a way to get to the top and back down safely. He has been featured in many publications, including the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. He is also a philanthropist, having raised over $150,000 for various causes, and most recently partnered with the nonprofit Higher Ground, based in Sun Valley. Mark's daughter, Emilia, has epilepsy, which motivated him to get involved in helping others. He is the host of Finding Your Summit podcast, having broadcast over 200 episodes with over 150,000 downloads. He's here today to share his story about how all of this, including the Hall of Fame coaches that he's worked with, taught him the blueprint of life to help him overcome obstacles and achieve at the highest level. So again, Mark, welcome.
Yeah, that was a great intro. You know, the only thing you forgot in that was the film that the NFL recently released called Searching for the Summit. It is now on YouTube, and we had a premiere here in Sun Valley, Idaho, which all 100% of all the proceeds from that went to Higher Ground nonprofit. But the thing that I'm so proud about that film, and I think really ties into this audience and this subject today, is the movie is not about a guy, a rah-rah thing with the NFL showing me, you know, going up and down Mount Everest and the other six summits that you talked about. But it's really about a guy that was going through a rough time that overcame. He got peace in the mountains and then was able to turn back, help his daughter, who does have epilepsy, as you mentioned. And somewhere in there, I make it to the top and back down on Mount Everest. And kind of the motivation, the drive, the why to keep going. And I think that's really what separates so many, kind of in your intro that you were talking about. you know, to keep going, especially when there's not a big crowd around you.
Right.
It's just you. There's no cameras. There's no lights. There's no reporters from the Washington Post or the New York Times or something. It's just like you got to really dig down and you're like, what is your reason to keep going and not quitting in business? And I've spent a heck of a lot more time in business than playing in the NFL or climbing mountains. And so I know what that's about. But great things can happen if you follow a certain formula.
Right. You know, and I always find it interesting when people look down on athletes. Yeah. You know, I've spent a lot of time with both college athletes and with professional athletes in a variety of ways. I still am very involved with the University of Colorado Athletic Department. And people are like, ooh, athletes. Athletes are some of the most intelligent, the most goal-oriented. I mean, you know, and it really doesn't matter what level that you play at, but athletes are just the cream of the crop. And again, you know, maybe you're just playing tennis on Sunday afternoons, but there's something about being an athlete that really does give you a different perspective on life.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I can't say differently because that's what I was. I was an athlete who played at the University of Washington and really had to understand and figure out that roadmap. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always turn out rosy for everybody. I mean, typically when they recruit, in the case of football, they recruit 25 kids per year and put them on scholarship. They know statistically that 8 are going to be the stars, 8 are going to be backups, and 8 are going to flunk out, or they break their knees and they can't play, or their drugs, or, you know, something
happens. That
Yeah, something happens. And so, you know, but that is, it really mirrors life in terms of you see that across the board. But, you know, the one thing, you know, speaking on the positive side of athletes, you know, that drive and the intelligence that you have to have to be able to react in the moment as all these different things are going on at one time and really slow that down to where it's literally in slow motion that you can make the right adjustments and where to go and how to read those different things. You know, you have to have some level of intelligence to really consume those things. You know, I think where some athletes run into problems is from a young age, many of us have been coddled, always been the star. And that wasn't my path. You know, I had a lot of really big ups and I had a lot of really big downs, you know, especially at the University of Washington. You know, I never... It took me 3 years of dark times and, you know, was I going to quit and all these things before the worm turned for me? And and so people look back and like, hey, Mark was a great wide receiver. They only see like the last 2 years, but the first 3 years got me to the last 2 years.
Right.
And I think like whether it's playing at the highest level in college or going on to the NFL, I think one problem that, you know, it permeates across the board is you've done one thing. In my case, you know, I retired around, I think I was 29 years old at the time. And so you've been doing this, including college, you know, 10, 11 years and all your life really playing the sport you love. And then you just go off the flipping cliff.
Right. Yeah. You're done. There's no support system. Really.
There's no support. Now the NFL has done a great job of really developing a lot of key life after football programs and help and just mentorship and all those things. It's been wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. But getting to that point has been a journey for them. It's really having those guys that played at that high level and they're able to take that same energy and that same effort and that same drive and channel that into this new thing that they're going to do, being a teacher, being a football coach, being a financial analyst, you know, whatever that is. And the one thing that we all have to come to grips with is there is nothing ever that is going to replace that feeling when you run out in the field and you're in the gauntlet of all the cheerleaders and the crowd's going cuckoo and you're playing in front of a million people and there's all the camaraderie and the locker room. And just, you know, I was very, very, very fortunate to be on the receiving end several times at the last second catching the end zone against big famous teams and win the game. And you just don't get that in business, you know, because you'll win a deal, but that deal took you a year or 6 months to win. And it's not like that, but you can still be successful in life and the things that you turn to, your family, your kids, responsibilities. I think the big component where I've been able to really developed here in the last couple of years is the philanthropy piece of giving back, of once you kind of get there, you're able to turn around and help the next person in line. And that's been such a blessing. So it's really transferring that energy from point A to point B that really makes the success happen for many of the guys that do well, you know, who are athletes.
You know, and many athletes, especially at that elite level, start in third, fourth grade. You know, and so it really is what they have lived for many years. You know, and we've all seen the commercials that, you know, only X number of people turn pro, all those various things. And but there's so many lessons that that come along with that. I mean, you know, when I look at, you know, like just the training that they go through, you know, especially football, because it's played at a time when it's usually hot, which means you're practicing at 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, these are college athletes getting up and going at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, and, you know, I look at that and go, no, but the discipline that they learn sometimes fourth and fifth grade is absolutely incredible. And then when they are able to transfer that into the business world, it just is such a positive.
I think we all need coaches. I mean, we're talking about sports metaphors right now, and within that realm, you know, you're talking about who is your coach and who is that person. Maybe it was a little league or something that really pointed the way. And I think to your point, there's only a certain percent that make it into college at either D1, D2, 3, D3 level, and then 1% of the people from there go on into the NFL. So the number is super small, but. You know, I think one of the things that probably helped me more than anything in life was, even though I was talented and I had some decent coaches, they weren't world-class coaches because they were little league, you know, they're just volunteers, they were teachers or whatever that were volunteering their time after. But where things really changed for me, I think, was when I first got to the University of Washington and I'd had all this success. I'd never worked for anything. I was one of those guys who just could roll out of bed. And I was a gym rat. So, I mean, I had that going. But in terms of those key ingredients that you're talking about, the discipline, the drive, being able to get up early in the morning, I really didn't understand. And I didn't understand that whole thing. And and my coach, Don James, who would later become a Hall of Fame coach from the University of Washington, he created this thing called, well, he didn't create it, but he borrowed from John Wooden, the famous basketball coach at UCLA. And this pyramid of success, you know, really was the roadmap, the blueprint in life, not just for football, but in life that I needed to really show me the way. And essentially, when you break that thing down, there's 25 individual and team goals. And at the very tippy top, you know, the championship, if you will, the national championship, the Super Bowl of whatever you do, you know, to be the best in the business is this thing called competitive greatness. And competitive greatness at the end of the day, when you file all that down, is really about loving the process as each one of those steps. I talked about earlier, it took me 3 years to get on the field. And I never, even though that they were, I was being introduced to the pyramid of success. And the 25 different things, getting faster, stronger, getting good grades, going in the weight room, learning the plays, you know, all these different things that we had, it didn't guarantee. There was no certainty. A plus B didn't equal C, right? But I knew that if I did these things, it put me in the best position to succeed, which is also the exact same ingredient that you need if you're going to run a business or be successful as a salesperson or whatever you do. And so then what happens is that, and John Wooden had talked about this, is that when that moment comes, my moment for me was, you know, a long time ago, 1983, we were playing Michigan. We were down by 14 points going into the fourth quarter. And with 20 seconds to go in the game, we were now down by 7, and they threw me a pass in the end zone. And I leaped up and I cut the thing over this guy's head, and it came down, and we scored, and we won the game. And it was this big, glorious moment and everything. But what John Wooden talks about is being at your best when your best is required.
Right.
You can't be at your best when your best is required if you haven't done the work. But we all need that blueprint. And so I guess I'm just trying to say is that it's a roadmap to life that really has helped me in these different things I've been able to do.
Right. You know, and of course, Coach Wooden, one of his big things was preparing his young men for life. You know, and we see that with the great coaches. You know, they really are looking at, you know, here is what we're doing. Yeah, it's great to win. you know, they get paid more when they win. I mean, there's all sorts of things that, but they also know the responsibility that they have. And you know, we've all seen examples of how, you know, kids and, you know, usually it is, you know, just by sheer numbers, it's young men. They look to coaches as that father figure. You know, and so it is up to them to really show, you know, this is what you're going to be doing in life. And here's what you have to do to get there. Yeah, it is easier for some, you know, you've got the standout quarterbacks, you know, and, but there's, you know, so many of the guys that are the O-line, the D-line that you never even know their name, but they're in there every single time doing exactly what they're supposed to do to make sure that the team is successful.
Well, you said it best, you know, it's just doing the things that you have to do and not being a diva about it. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, there's a quarterback I mentioned before we went live here that I one of my many things I've done is I was able to spend 6 years in a mentorship program for the UCLA Bruins.
Right.
And, you know, there was a quarterback that they had there at the time that was he from a young kid, he'd been the best player in Southern California. He went to UCLA and he never really put the work in. Right. Mm-hmm. And he did
because he had that natural talent.
Yeah. But he didn't hone the talent. Right. Mm-hmm. We all that's this other word called potential. And when people start saying this has so much potential.
Right.
Really what they're saying, which people never refer to it like this, really what they're saying is that person, you know, has the capacity to be phenomenal, but they haven't reached it yet. So they're not there. Mm-hmm. And so what are you going to do about that? And where drive and fire and grit and determination and perseverance, you know, all those different words, where they kick in, you just never know. And you never know what the motivation is for many of these. And that's why it's so fun to get to know people, you know, behind the curtain, because you do start to find out these stories and what that drive is. And not everybody's destined to play in the NFL, but you are destined to become the best version of yourself that's out there. And everybody has that opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and you never know really what's waiting. I mean, clearly with an athlete, you know, the next step they take, you know, the next play, they could go out. I mean, you know, and be out for forever. You know, or you also never know when, you know, that wunderkind is going to be waiting. I mean, you know, like I said, big college sports fan. I watched the Texas Oklahoma game last weekend and, you know, now we have, Oklahoma has a different quarterback and may going forward, you know, and I mean, that's very interesting. And that we don't see that as much in the business world, but it is always there. I mean, you know, we have our competitors, we have, you know, things that are going to happen. And if you're not staying on the ball and focused 100% of the time, that person is going to catch you and go past you.
Well, there's also something too, which is interesting, which success in many cases also breeds complacency, right? And so you get to the top of the mountain, you think you're there and you know, look out, there's some young, you know, person that's coming along and, you know, wants to take you and pick you off. And that's just kind of human nature. And so, you know, constantly trying to, reinvent yourself, reinvent what you're trying to do. And looking at these things, I mean, look, there are some things that I've learned and I'll spell them out right now. And this is really things that I applied when I just, as you mentioned, the very beginning, I just came off Mount Everest 3 months ago. And I was looking back on a lot of this stuff, you know, like, what have you learned from this? And this is always like, you can, this first thing I'm going to talk about is just, you know, maybe it's a big goal or something you've never done, but you got to step into the fear. Right. And the fear of I'm going to be great. I'm going to, you know, a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, right? Something that's so outrageous out there. You don't even know if it's possible, but you're ready to step into it. So you know, you got to first step into the fear. The second thing you have to do is you have to do it with daily discipline. Right. And this is the thing right here where I see so many people falling off the mountain because it's not luck that when people are successful in different things, and I've been able to be, you know, have some good fortune in these different, you know, high profile things, Sports Illustrated, Seven Summits, Mount Everest, and playing in the NFL. But they, if you look at the work ethic behind it, it's the daily discipline of doing all the things that you need to do, to make it happen. You know, I'm turning 60 years old here coming up. And I can tell you, I'm not special, but I do work out twice a day. I do CrossFit before anybody's up. And then I run up the mountain in the afternoon. And nobody has to do that because these are my goals or these are my aspirations, but I know that that's what I have to do at the end of the day. And then the last thing is that the third, so step into the fear, daily discipline. And the third thing is commit to that end goal, like no matter what, because things will come up and detours will happen and you got to continue. You know, we were supposed to go to, I trained like twice a day for a year from 2019 leading up 13 months. I was leading up to going to Mount Everest in 2020. And then, as you know, 2020 March, roughly,
the entire the world kind of went kerthud.
it closed down. The whole world shut down. And so I literally packed my bags and I'd driven from Idaho, Sun Valley, Idaho, to California to see my daughters. And I was all ready to go. And literally, my plane was leaving in 5 days. And then this whole event happened.
Oh, no.
And as you know, every day just exponentially got bigger and bigger and bigger. And we didn't know what to do. And people were dying. It was awful. But, you know, I had to reset that goal. And I had to reset that goal to 2020. So I was just like, oh, my gosh. Now I got to go do this whole thing.
You got to stay in shape. You've got to do all those things.
You got to do all these things. And so I redefined the goal that I was trying to do, which was not only climb Mount Everest, but then come down and jump in my tent for a couple hours and then go up the fourth highest mountain in the world called Lhotse. And I would have been the only NFL guy to do that at the time. And there's only a few that have done it, but you know, it didn't happen. I failed at that goal. I made Mount Everest. So that's the main thing. But you know, it's just, the point is that when you commit, it's your classic December comes around, you make a New Year's resolution, you're doing good on whatever, losing weight or being more healthy or whatever that thing is you're going to do. And come about March, you're out.
If you even made it to March.
If you even made it to March, right? And so that's where I see, like, if you just break it down to the most simple things that my observations, the only difference, now, not everybody can play in the NFL. I get that. But people can do business in a variety of different ways. People can go climb mountains. You can, you know, become the best woodworker or something.
Right.
You can find what your own goal is. But that's just the difference. I see so many, they go like that and they fall off. They go like that and fall off.
Right.
It's the people with the long tail goal and determination of not giving up that make it.
Right. You know, and it is scary to set those goals. And so, you know, you talked about BHAGs and I love BHAGs. I think they're, you know, they're funny because we all need those big, hairy, audacious goals, but we also have to have the other ones in there. I mean, you know, for somebody who's, you know, lazy, raising my hand here, you know, walking 5 miles a day might be a pretty big goal for me, you know, and so then it's like, okay, I've done that. Now what? But, you know, and so my BHAG might be, say, to run a marathon. Now I'm not going to do that. I am too lazy, but you know, it you have to have those points along the way in order to keep going. You know, when you're climbing the mountain, I mean, there's all the various base camps and all of those things, and you just keep going. And that's where business people struggle, you know, because it is difficult and we get there and, you know, a lot of times like, well, this was hard, so I'm just going to stay here. And then, as you said, somebody else comes along and goes past you.
There's an interesting thing. I was reading a book a number of years ago at the end of the day. So I'm in a business development. So I grow, my job at Sports Illustrated is grow the network. And when we took over the network, Sports Illustrated, this is about 20 months ago, they were ranked, I think, number 11 or 12 on the internet, in the digital world. It's called ComScore. It's just how many people are actually hitting and coming to your website. It's the same version of what the Nielsen ratings are for television. So somehow or another, they could measure all that, right? And we were number 11. We're going to be number 6, which we leaped everywhere. We'll be at number 5 by the end of the year. We'll take over USA Today. And so it's sticking with it and having that game plan and again being determined. And if something's not working, you know, you got to switch it up. You got to constantly be reevaluating these goals and looking at this stuff. And again, you know, there's just no magic dust. It's not, you know, this person's lucky. You know, people who don't achieve things aren't lucky. It's the people that do achieve things are lucky. Luck to me is winning the lotto, being struck by lightning, you know, things that are so rare.
Right. So random that.
But the other part about that too, for all the business, and I'm in that group, right? Mm-hmm. So like most of my life has been in the business world, not these other things that are more flashy. And I do know one thing that's also really helped me a lot is understanding that success leaves clues, right? And there are so many just amazing business owners. Some of them are well known that I've been able to interact with, and some of them aren't. And then most of them, you know, are listening to podcasts like this, where I'm learning from somebody who's been there, done that. But where I was going was that, you know, this guy that was talking about business and closing deals, and he was saying, you know, on average, it takes something like 13 calls, and calls could be at some different level of interacting with somebody else to close a deal. And most people, they give up after
5 or 6.
Well, it's actually 3.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. This is according to him. And he said, you know, when it's, let's say it's 5, even if it's 5. The way that he viewed everything was the game just begins at 5. Like every week you have a thing. Hey, it's me. Hey, it's me. Hey, it's me. Come up with something new and different, you know, figure out a different angle and a way in. And what is valuable? I get pinged all because of my position in Sports Illustrated. I get pinged weekly on LinkedIn, and people are asking me to do things that have no relevance or
right. I get asked that. I can only imagine what you do.
And so if they want me to answer, then how are you going to bring value into my life at Sports Illustrated that I can respond to you in a way? And so that's also figuring out the game of what that magic formula is going to be. But just, again, daily discipline and committing to the process of not giving up no matter what, and understanding that, you know, your competition will fall off, you know, like rats going overboard. If you just stay at it, and by the time you get to that 5th or 6th or 7th call with this person trying to break into that account, you'll get there. I had a company many years ago. It was a manufacturing company, import out there. I ended up manufacturing all those green market outdoor umbrellas for Starbucks everywhere, right? I ended up getting the account for 14 years for North America, South America, and parts of Latin. Or Asia. And it took me 2.5 years to get that. 2.5. And most of the people would give up. I didn't even know what an outdoor market umbrella was at the time when I called up and said, hey, I can do these things for you. And they, who are you? And, you know, just the relationship and building and doing prototypes and blah, blah. And ultimately, I got it. It was a multi-million dollar deal. If you can imagine, every Starbucks in the United States and Canada, you know, and Mexico, and, you know, like it was just a massive production, but it just always taught me about hanging in there and sticking with it and not giving up and just, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? And how do I win the order ultimately?
Right. You know, and that is what's hard for business people, because, you know, when they get that initial no, it's a blow to your ego, you know, and it's like, yeah, okay. Unless it is truly a flat out no, do not talk to me again, there might still be a little opening there, you know, and it really shouldn't be personal. I mean, that's the thing, is people take it personally and they need to realize it's not. You know, you need to just keep going and be persistent. Now, you don't want to be obnoxious about it. You know, back to LinkedIn. I mean, how many people do we get that just continually ding at us? And pretty soon I'm like, no. You know, but the ones that are unique catch my attention. I mean, you know, and not the unique creepy, but the unique fun, you know, and they do, they catch my attention. I'm like, okay, tell me more. But it's that persistence that pays off with them, because they didn't just give me the little spiel of, hey, I'd like to connect with you on LinkedIn. It's, here's what I can do to help you. It might sound a little wacky, but, you know, let's give it a try.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, from my standpoint, I when I hear no, it's really a maybe.
Right. Yeah. Unless it really is just one of those where you're like, okay. I mean, most of the time it is maybe or not now, right?
It could be maybe or not now. Yeah. I like that. And like you said, you know, in our world, I never like to put pressure on anybody, because mm-hmm. some of it is just understanding, you know, it's hard to, another thing that somebody told me once, which is interesting, and it's turned out to be true, is that the best salesperson is not the person who talks, is the person who listens.
Right.
Because that's where you get all the clues.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just shut your mouth for a minute and ask them just basic things and then let them just roll mm-hmm. and roll and roll. And mm-hmm. there's so much great info that can come out that mm-hmm. you can just say thank you and come back and come up with a plan. Mm-hmm. If there's something that's actually applicable mm-hmm. to what you can offer to make their life better.
Right. You know, and sometimes the best thing you can do is to give them information on somebody else. You know, I've done that before where I've said, you know, that's not something that I can do, but here's who I'm going to refer you to. And then everybody's happy. You know, mm-hmm. the person that I referred is thinking, wow, that was great. The person who, you know, got the business is thinking, okay, that was fantastic. You know, and so it's a win-win-win, I guess it would be. And you know, and nobody wasted their time doing something that we shouldn't have been doing.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I think I've got all these little isms, but you know, what's the best use of your time, right? Mm-hmm. What is going to be mm-hmm. the best use of my time to advance the ball and get me to where I want to go? Mm-hmm. And so that's when you take a step back and, mm-hmm. And like you're saying, you know, let's just say that you were going to run that marathon that you mm-hmm. said you're never going to do, but let's just say that you got there, mm-hmm. you know, and that included walking 5 miles a day. And those walks had to occur before business hours, because mm-hmm. that's, for whatever reason, that's when you start your day.
I'm in Georgia. It's hot.
It's in Georgia. Well, so maybe that means you're getting up at 6. And you know, mm-hmm. the thing, like when my, like the way I go about my life is this, I have this thing called FOF, right? Mm-hmm. Feet on floor. Mm. And so, you know, I know that I like to sleep in, which I really do, but I mm-hmm. do. And I know that I have a set time every single day that mm-hmm. I get up and my feet have to hit the floor, because once they hit the floor, it's the first step mm-hmm. towards doing the goal of the day and getting my brain activated and everything mm-hmm. else towards my ultimate goal. I did, you know, as we talked about, I recently climbed the Seven Summits, but mm-hmm. I've reset that goal now. I'm headed down to Ecuador in December.
Ooh.
And I'm climbing a mountain called Cotopaxi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got a big birthday coming up. And so I said, you know what, I want to do something extraordinary. Mm-hmm. So the only way I know how I can actually go down to Ecuador in December and climb this mountain and go on top and do mm-hmm. push-ups and do all these other things, you know, to make that birthday extraordinary mm-hmm. is if I have to train, you know, you just re-engineer what you're actually mm-hmm. doing to get to that goal. But it's just, again, it's just mindset of like, in order to do this, like, mm-hmm. how do you chop up your day in order to achieve mm-hmm. that goal?
Right. Well, okay. So let's talk about this. Who the heck decides I'm going to climb the Seven Summits? You know, most of us don't even know that's possible. And, you know, so was it, you know, something that now I'm from Colorado where we had, you know, all these 14ers and I've been to the top of some of them, you know, but I'm not one of those that had to do all of them, but you know, how is it that you decided this was what you were going to do?
It's a great question. And here's the answer. I grew up in Seattle, so mm-hmm. it has a lot of mountains like Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
They're not nearly as high. We've got one big high, one Mount Rainier up there, mm-hmm. which I did climb many years ago, but about 10 years ago, I was going through a rough patch of my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all go through rough patches.
Right.
And for me, I was having a real struggle, like getting out of this place that I was in. And I just didn't know, you know, like how I was going to move forward. And so mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time thinking about how I got in this mm-hmm. this awful place. And one day, after like 2 years, so this wasn't like 24 hours later, but mm-hmm. this is 2 years of in quicksand and in mm-hmm. tough spot. I just said, you know, I'm going to change that from how did I get here to what am I going to do about it? Mm. And so when I said those words, it just the mental strength and the refocus mm-hmm. on trying to come up with something, a solution mm-hmm. that was going to get me out of it. And so the first thing that came to me, because I'd always remain athletic and mm-hmm. nothing crazy, but just, you know, mm-hmm. a jog around the block or doing stairs or, you know, going to the gym or something. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, I need to do something grand. I need to go back to the word BHAG, big, hairy, mm-hmm. audacious goal. And what would that be for me in my life? And so I said, well, I can't go back and play in the NFL, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but that's the reality. But one of the things I think I want to go after, especially coming from Seattle, and there's a lot of famous mountaineers up there, was to try to become the first NFL player to ever climb the seven summits. And so I put that goal down almost 10 years ago. And the goal was to climb, you know, the seven summits, which are the highest peaks around the globe. And so I got my pyramid of success. I got my roadmap. I got my blueprint to like, how do you pull that off? Like, where do you even start? Right.
Right.
So I started off with going down to Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. And slowly, as I kind of made my way, it would be like, starting in not that Kilimanjaro is an easy mountain, but starting, you know, in the Little League and making your way up through Little League to high school, to college.
Back to those achievable goals.
Yeah, the achievable goals. So, and so each mountain was done by difficulty. And sometimes it was done by hemisphere, but essentially, you know, I went around the entire globe. I was in, you know, first year in Africa. So Tanzania and Kilimanjaro. The second year was in Europe, in Russia. You know, who goes to Russia?
I know, to climb a mountain.
Climb a mountain. So I was on a mountain there. That was crazy. Somebody died, got hit by lightning strike. The third year I was in Australia, a mountain called Mount Kosciuszko. The fourth year I was in South America called Mount Aconcagua. It was a high one, 23,000 feet. And then my fifth year, this is now 2017, I was in Alaska climbing a mountain called Denali.
Love Denali. It is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. You know, the Denali National Park is bigger than the state of Massachusetts.
I know. And yeah, very pretty, very pretty.
Yeah. So yeah, really crazy. So I didn't do that mountain. I got up to 14,200 feet and we ran into minus 80 degree weather.
Ooh.
And so
your nose breaks and falls off at that point.
It does. It did for some other people. So I came back and in 2018 and redid that mountain and made it. And then 2019, I was in Antarctica, climbed a mountain called Vincent Massif. And then 2020, we talked about is the year of COVID. So got knocked off and here we are in 2021 and a couple months ago I was standing on top of the world and you know and that's how it did you know and there's a lot of setbacks in there you know it wasn't but the you know the wonderful thing about that story and this is kind of reflects in the movie is that you know I started off because I was in this place that I need a lot of healing and that's what I found in the mountains and I ended up moving to Sun Valley. And so I was able to still am train really across the street, you know, where the mountain is and having Moose walk down the street and just really brought a lot of calm and peace to what I was doing in my life. And then, you know, things stabilized. And then my daughter, meanwhile, for most of her life, she's had epilepsy. And I was just like, you know, I need to help her.
Right.
In that much deeper way. So I reached out to just a couple of charities and got involved in terms of giving money, funds back to those organizations. I created a campaign called Amelia's Everest. And so I started getting involved in that. And then, you know, it's serendipity and sometimes it's fate. You know, I was pretty devastated for, you know, two or three or four or 5 days, you know, when COVID shut the world down.
Oh, yeah. You'd worked so hard.
So hard, right? But if I hadn't done that in the beginning of 2021, so last January, I got a call from the NFL and said, hey, we've heard about you and we want to do a story on your journey.
Right.
And I was like, you're kidding. And then so they said, yeah, we're coming over to Sun Valley. And and so it's a 30-minute documentary and it goes through it all. And so, you know, it's just weird the way things turn out, the way your life and when you least expect it, But I go back to that first thing that I talked about, which is stepping into the fear. Because I had no idea. It was totally like, how do you do this?
Right. Yeah.
And now I've never climbed that big of a mountain. And Mount Everest, like, there's only a few people in the world, you know, I mean, it's actually somewhere the number between 450 and 500 that have actually done this. I'm only the second NFL player. And, you know, to do that, it just took all those different characteristics we're talking about of not giving up and stepping into the fear and doing it the right way and never quitting. And then once I got there, one of the things in your opening remarks, you know, I had to survive through two cyclones and it was just a crazy COVID outbreak on the mountain and Nepal in general. And then got up there and I got snow blind. So trying to like figure out how I was going to hook in and then, You know, then I ran out of oxygen. I was out there 18 hours. I didn't know how I was going to get back, but you know, that real drive of having my daughter.
You made it that far.
I know. I got to bring her home. But it was, I mean, it got pretty dicey, but you know, somehow or another, I was able to pull together and slide, you know, essentially back down in the, into high camp at 26.5. But, you know, it was, I can't believe it's over. And so I'm going through that, that whole thing of what's next. And I've got some things on the roadmap right now that I'm just so much more in a better place to be able to take that on of what's next and how I'm going to challenge myself.
Right. Right. You know, and I love that your daughter was, you know, such an inspiration for you. And to be able to, you know, just keep going because of, you know, what she goes through. It's like, you know, you could do pretty much anything because of what she goes through.
Yeah, you know, something that I also learned around the world, and it really struck me initially when I went down to Tanzania, but it really came full circle. I was invited to be a part of a group called Water Boys. It's a collection of NFL guys that are building water wells in East Africa, specifically in Tanzania. And so we actually spent quite a bit of time in the Serengeti and the people in the Maasai tribe. But, but you know, I've seen this repeat itself several times. And that is that this whole word called perspective, like, right. So you're going through, like, I'm up there and feeling sorry for myself and this bad past that I was going through, you know, compared to much of the world, it's nothing.
Right.
Man, I thought it was everything. And I was all caught up in my own mess and it really didn't turn out to be, it was actually a blessing. I was going through a separation with my wife and it was a blessing that all these riches, non-monetary have come my way. I'm talking about the podcast, which I don't make any money on, but I do them and I learn about people overcoming their adversity. Talk about traveling around the world, which cost me money. I'm not sponsored by anybody. I'm talking about charity giving, trying to raise this money that all that money goes to other organizations, not me, you know? And so it was a great life lesson for me that, you know, when I start to feel sorry for myself, you know, just remember that there's a lot of people have a heck of a lot of
years. Yeah. I go through that. I was diagnosed 5 years ago with breast cancer. And you know, you feel whiny, you feel, oh, poor me, oh, woe is me. And then I'll see like a commercial on TV of a child with cancer or a veteran with, you know, no legs. And I'm like, yeah, right, get a grip. You know, you got it pretty easy. And you know, and it's that way with everything. You know, if we need to keep the perspective of what is truly important in our mind. And that is part of those goals. I mean, you know, it's, you know, what can you do to help others? And you mentioned the fact that, you know, you do a lot of philanthropic work. And I think that's where, you know, yeah, it's great that you have a name. And, you know, we see that with a lot of athletes, with a lot of celebrities. But anybody can do this. I mean, you know, we all need to think about how can we give back to our communities.
You know, I may have a name, but I, you know, it's all relative to that. You know, I've got my name and I'm not Joe Montana or Tom Brady, but I can't even emphasize enough to people the amount of dedication and hard work I put on just to like training this last year. I put on 150,000 vertical feet in 3 months, climbing up and down these mountains, right? Nobody was out there. It was cold. I was with a headlamp on, you know, it's snowy. It's, you know, it's not fun. And so it's not like, look at me, but there's a reason why certain people have certain successes. And most of the times it's just when it gets down, it's just you. It's just, you know, looking at your truth, you know, are you willing to go the extra distance? And that doesn't mean like, I would never be an Ironman person because I'm not a good swimmer and I'm not a good runner. So it's just recognizing my strengths and recognizing my weaknesses, but things that I think I can take on and actually do, they take a lot of dedication and commitment to that end goal. I've mentioned that a couple of times now, but it's really that simple. You know, finding mentors and, you know, whether you call them coach or a mentor or business leaders or whatever, you know, people can be so podcasts. I'm such a big believer in listening to podcasts like this, where you're interviewing people, you know, who have actually gone out there and they've done it. And they've done it multiple times. So it's not just some fluky thing that you happen to start pets.com or something. And I'm making this up. And like back in the day when the internet first happened and valuations were $50 million and they had no sales.
Right.
But you know, it's just, it's fun to see when others succeed. And then it's always interesting, like, how did that happen? What was the magic ingredient that made all that work? And, you know, certainly hard work's in there, but what else?
You know, and also see their failures, you know, because it doesn't matter what it is. Nothing's unique anymore. It has happened, positive and negative, to somebody else. And so when we can learn from those, that's you know, what is great about this. You know, obviously, I love podcasts. I love reading, you know, business books and things like that to see what happened. And, you know, it, to come full circle, it really is important to have that coach, you know, that mentor, some, you know, maybe it's a mastermind group, something, especially when you are a small business owner, kind of on your own, you know, and so, you know, we kind of have to watch all of this because it is something that, you know, we just need to really keep track of.
Always. I mean, I tell you, you know, we're kind of hitting the pinnacle, the peaks of the NFL and the Sports Illustrated, and you know, but I've had probably way more failures than I've had successes. I mean, just I wouldn't call it a failure, but it was dark times. The first 3 years at the University of Washington, we talked about that before. When I got to the Raiders, I was drafted by them in those days, the LA Raiders.
You know, Lyle Alzado. I just think that's so cool.
I did. I played with him. Yeah, I was just a rookie, and he was in his last year, and he was pretty cuckoo. You know, he's so
he'd had a little
Yeah, he was steroided up a little bit, but you know, I was there, and then I was cut, and then I was traded, and then I was on another team, and then I got moved and cut. I mean, it just like I had it all, and just the heartache and trying to stay in there and hang. And it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies, you know, by any means. And in business, I had I've started a couple different companies, and I raised $1.5 million. It was a technology company. And then we ran into, I think it was 2008, we ran into the financial crisis, and we just ran out of money and couldn't finish the software. And it's just, you know, it was like, it was awful, you know, dealing with those, many of these guys were friends of mine who had thrown in money, and I was stuck. I couldn't go place further. And those are not fun times to be staring, going through a divorce, you know, that failure in my life, like the lows that I felt going through that. And nobody in my family had ever been divorced before, ever. I was the first one. So I set a record there, a new record, which I'm not proud of.
Not one that you want anybody else to repeat.
And it's just, and so, but, you know, look, at the end of the day, that's life. And if I'm standing up there and I'm talking to anybody or anybody's listening to this podcast right now, to not walk away, that this guy is, you know, had been the golden boy since day one. It hasn't been like that for me at all. I've had to work for everything. I never have once got a call like out of the blue, like, hey, come work for this company and we're going to pay you $1 zillion. You know,
I just haven't.
And so, and maybe that's everybody's road and nobody's road, but it's just the point of like, I've had to, you know, scratch and claw and do all these things to get there. And when I didn't know something like how to do it, you know, I'd research it on my little friend called Google and ask, you know, Mr. Google to say, hey, you know, how do I, you know, grow audiences on, you know, or whatever. I mean, it's just like, there's so many learning tools and books and podcasts and audio tapes and the internet that, you know, the power of curiosity can take you a long way.
Well, oh my gosh, Mark, I know we need to be wrapping things up. And, you know, you are a motivational speaker. You've got, you know, all sorts of ways where you can work with businesses, with organizations. So tell people how they find you and how they connect with you.
Well, thank you for that. And I've loved this show. You're really good at interviewing. I do a lot of these things.
Thank you.
And you're very skilled at it. But people can reach me at markpattisonnfl.com. It's mm-hmm. my name, Mark Pattison, PATTISONNFL.com. And, you know, between my podcast and speaking gigs and the movie and all this other stuff, that's out there. And, you know, when I'm not the Tony Robbins that comes and jumps up and down, you know, what I do is I show a fascinating slideshow to people mm-hmm. who want me to come and talk to them. I've got several gigs lined up here. But it's just like showing the difficulty of what it's like at Camp mm-hmm. 2, Camp 3, going up these ice walls. And then there's this, the ability to drop in these messages mm-hmm. that we've talked about today. You know, about what it takes to overcome mm-hmm. and here's how I overcame this particular situation and what can you do to change your life, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the benefit that people can really draw from this because we're all there. We're all mm-hmm. human. And if you haven't gone through a rough patch, you know, you mentioned some tough stuff you went through five mm-hmm. years ago. If you haven't gone through a tough patch, as you know, it's coming.
It's coming. Yeah. Well, Mark, this has been absolutely delightful and I can't wait to chat again. So, you know, when you've climbed more of those mountains, you know, we'll have you on again because this will be so much fun to be able to talk with you. Do you have any final thoughts for everyone?
You know, the only thought is the same thought that I literally have pinned on my little homemade gym. I have in my basement, my Peloton down there. It's a motto I've always lived by, but mm-hmm. you know, it says it takes a little more to make a champion. And some of my coaches, one of them said that to me many years ago. And I just thought, oh, that's corny, mm-hmm. that's stupid. But, you know, if you want to create separation in business, in life, in mm-hmm. relationships, it takes work and it takes a mm-hmm. lot of hard work and you got to dig down. There's no magic pill, you know, to do that. And that's why this simple little thing, it takes a little more to, you know, to win. It takes a little bit more mm-hmm. to excel and be at your best when your best is required. And you can only do that through long-term commitment mm-hmm. to the process and then actually working that process all the way through. And that's my parting shot. And, you know, if somebody can pick something up from that, then that's great. But that to me is the winning formula to life.
Cool. I love it. Well, I can't wait to watch the movie. That's going to be so much fun. I am Deb Creer. I've been having an absolutely wonderful discussion with Mark Pattison. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.